Okay, welcome all to the See How Foam Bridge workshop on 12 stepping on the foam bridge. This workshop is being recorded. Anything which does not meet the World Service standards for workshops will be edited and deleted. My name is Cheryl. I'm a grateful compulsive eater and your moderator for this workshop. I have mass muted the conference line and request that you stay muted until our Q&A session, which will take place after our panelists are done. You may then unmute yourself by hitting the star and six keys on your foam pad when you are ready to speak. We will also leave some time for callers to share on 12-stepping on the foam bridge. To open, would you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity,
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can.
And wisdom to know the difference. All right, please remute yourself so that we may continue. Diane will be our spiritual timekeeper. Each panelist will share their experience, strength, and hope for 5 to 7 minutes on 12-stepping on the foam bridge. Diane, would you please give the panelists a one-minute warning after 4 minutes are up? And if they wish to continue, then 2 minutes later, another warning, giving the panelists a chance to wrap up. Thank you, Diane. Okay, let us get started. Again, welcome all that joined us on the foam bridge today. I'd like to thank our wonderful panelists who agreed to take part in this much-needed workshop by doing service and giving us this experience, strength, and hope. The panelists in order are Judy Kay, who will be sharing on 12-stepping by embracing our literature. Gabby, who will be sharing on 12-stepping by integrating service on the foam bridge. Lily, who will be sharing on 12-stepping with love, kindness, and support. Michael will be speaking on 12-stepping by walking newcomers through the traditions. And Susan will be speaking on 12-stepping by incorporating the steps. And Shelley will be sharing on 12-stepping by encompassing the tools. Judy Kay is our first speaker. Judy, would you like to please start us off? Thank you.
Yes, thanks so much, Cheryl. It's so good to be able to do this, and I love the 12 steps. So let me just first qualify. My name is Judy Kay. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. I've been abstinent since March 3rd, 2002, so that's 13 years, and today it's 2 months by the grace of God, and I've released 34 pounds. That's not the miracle. The miracle is that I've been able to keep it off for all those years. So just to remind everyone, step 12, is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I love step 12. I love service. And I love service because it has kept me abstinent where nothing else has. I have had the honor of being a sponsor, a meeting secretary and treasurer, an intergroup rep, Area 2 secretary and chair, a delegate, the chair of public relations in Las Vegas, an entertainment chair for World Service. I've written questions for World Service, created songs and skits, and currently I'm a delegate, member of the World Service Literature Committee, and chair of committee selections. Now, why do I tell you all this? It has absolutely nothing to do with ego. The reason I tell you this is because service, step 12, has saved my life. And many times when I was wanting that extra bite or close to a slip, I would volunteer to take on a new sponsee, or do some new kind of service, reach out in a new way, and guess what? It helped me stay abstinent. What does the literature say? The 12th step is all over every single book in our literature, so I just took out highlights, but if you really want to learn more about the 12 steps, it's in the big book. It's in our 12 and 12, as Bill sees it, and the daily reflections. It's all over. And it's even in our seven-step prayer, which I love, the last sentence, which is, grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Now that to me is service, because the seven-step prayer is all about our character defects, but in the end, why do we work on all these to recover so that we have the strength to go out there to do service? In chapter 7 of the Big Book, page 89, it says, quote, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking or eating, as in our case, as intensive work with other compulsive eaters. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. And I've just changed from alcoholic to compulsive eater, so that you know. But that's the truth. And I don't know, many of you who've read the Big Book remember the story where it's on page 155 in the Big Book, where a man is on thin ice. And I call that slippery emotional places. And he wanted a drink so badly. But instead, he, on one side, he was at a bar. He looked. There was the bar. On the other side was the phone. And he asked his higher power to help him. He called clergy, and he found someone to help and went to a hospital to help someone else. That, to me, is how service works. Just to tell you a little bit, my own experience, just in the last year, my sister-in-law was dying, and she did pass away within 7 months. And I was hurting. So what did I do? I took on a new sponsee. And in giving to her, I was able to stay abstinent. That's what it's all about. In the 12 and 12 on page 106, it says, quote, here we turn outward toward our fellow alcoholics, or compulsive eaters in our case, who are still in distress. What is that?
Four minutes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I gotcha. Here we experience the kind of giving that asks no rewards. So that's from the 12 and 12. And I just wanted to cover a little bit. The second part of step 12 is practicing these principles in all our affairs. Here in the literature, we can turn to page 111, the last paragraph, where it asks us, can we live the program? Can we practice faith, love, and tolerance every day in all of our affairs? And what the answer is to that, how to do it, page 114, is all we have to do is, the answer is in still more spiritual development. So we place spiritual growth first. And I know for me through the years, what I've done is when I have a problem or challenge, I work it through the 12 steps. That's also our literature. And all you have to do is take each step in the 12 and 12, and instead of eating, put in the situation, like, I am powerless over my relationship with my brother. My life has become unmanageable. And then you take it through the steps until you get to the 12th step. Is it 5 minutes? You're able to release yourself and share your recovery, whatever the problem is, with your sponsees or anyone else. So the last thing, I'm just going to end it with the idea that every day we ask our higher power to guide us in being of service. And as Bill sees it on page 13, says, sharing faith with others is our greatest responsibility. And this is the quote, may we continually seek the wisdom and the willingness by which we may well fulfill that immense trust which the giver of all perfect gifts has placed in our hands. So we recover, and then we go out and help others. Thank you so much for letting me share, and back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you so very much, Judy. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Okay, we go on. Gabby's our next panelist. Gabby, please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. I'm Gabby. I'm a compulsive eater. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Excellent. My name is Gabby. I'm a compulsive eater. I live in Bakersfield, California. And to qualify, I've been in this program and abstinent only by the grace of God since September 29th, 1997. So I have 17 and a half years of abstinence, again, only by the grace of God. And I want to thank Cheryl for asking me to speak today, and thank anyone who's listening for being part of my recovery, and I hope that anything I say is helpful to you, and if it's not, just keep coming back so you hear something that is useful. My issue with the 12-step has, I'll talk about it in two parts. The first part is that for the longest time, I imagined that the 12th step was something that essentially translated to bring people to a meeting, bring people to a meeting. That was what the 12 steps had. You know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to, you know, show everyone what we had learned. And the only way I knew how to do that originally was to bring people to a meeting. Well, in my first year of program, which was really when I was in the weight loss state, and I lived in Los Angeles at the time. There were hundreds of live meetings, and everyone was asking me about it because it was so obvious that I was going through this transformation. So my very first year in program, I did a lot of what I considered 12-stepping, which was I told my experience, strength, and hope to anybody who asked me about it. And I was really grateful to sort of share my path to recovery. And if anybody wanted to come to a meeting, I brought them to a meeting. And I was very open about my recovery, which is wonderful. But then two things happened. One is that I used to hear someone who still, thank God, in these rooms say, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Meaning, as she often shared, that it didn't say having had the exact weight loss I wanted or having had the significant other I wanted or having had a perfect life or a perfect job or a perfect marriage or a perfect child or a perfect whatever. That's not what it said. It said having had a spiritual awakening, and that was the result of these steps. And I thought, wow, that's much more complicated than bringing someone to a meeting. And the other thing that happened was I moved to Bakersfield, California, which is a community about 100 miles north of Los Angeles. And there were a couple of live meetings, but by then I had 7 years of abstinence. So no one in Bakersfield knew me as someone who had been heavy and who had lost weight. They just sort of accepted that that's who I was, which was both wonderful and sort of disconcerting all at the same time. But as the meetings here died out and I got more and more involved in the phone bridge, I realized that bringing someone to a meeting was a lot more complicated because on the phone bridge, you can't just, say, hey, I mean, you can say, join me on the phone, but it's very different from looking at someone and being right there and sort of saying, hey, this is how this works, right, in the middle of the meeting. This is, don't worry about this part, or, you know, here are some sponsors. You might want to listen to this. It's just very different. And so I started to rethink what I felt about the 12th step, what it meant to 12-step somebody, and I realized that as a phone bridge participant, as pretty much solely as a phone bridge participant, that's how I get all my meetings these days, what that meant for me was make the program available to anyone who finds it. And what does that mean through the phone bridge? Well, for me, that means making sure that meetings have leaders. That means making sure meetings have timers. That means making sure that a meeting runs smoothly by volunteering to read something, making sure that meetings have intergroup reps, making sure that whatever we do as a phone bridge, the hand, you know, they say at the very end of the AA pledge, and it's on page, I think it's 331 of As Bill Sees It, my obligation, my responsibility is to make sure that the hand of AA is always there to reach out to someone. And for me, on the phone bridge, that's very clear. That means I've got to do service to make sure that the phone bridge is available, not just for myself, of course I need it desperately, but for absolutely anybody who's living in a community where there aren't hundreds of easy live meetings to get to. And so that means that I make sure that I call our phone bridge coordinator, and I make sure that if there's a meeting that I can even remotely get to, that I'm there and that I have a service position, because it's really easy for me to not take a service commitment and then not to show up to a meeting. But if I have a service commitment, suddenly the most amazing thing happens. I find ways to get to that meeting every single week. And I just gave up a service commitment on a Sunday morning, and I was very grateful to have been involved in that service, and now I've picked up a new meeting commitment. And it was as simple as calling our meeting coordinator and saying, tell me which meetings need a leader, and I'll find one that I can do, even if it means getting up early or staying
5 minutes. 5 minute warning. I'm sorry.
I'm
having a problem. Thank you.
No, thank you for your service. That also means that if I get on a meeting that's kind of quiet but I can share or I can read, that I do that so that someone who's maybe sitting there and maybe it's midnight for them and they can't talk but they can listen, that they have recovery to listen to. It also means sponsoring. It means that if someone outreaches me, I try to pick up the phone. I'm not so good at that one, but I try. Being of service on the phone bridge means getting involved in all of the things that make the phone bridge work. Workshops and all of the other commitments. And so what in the end, you know, my part in this workshop is to talk about how being of service on the phone bridge is in fact 12-stepping people, because it means that the hand of the phone bridge is going to be available at whatever time of day someone needs to talk, at whatever meeting is going to be run according to the 12 steps and 12 traditions of AA and the 7 tools of CHOW. And it means that people who are looking for recovery are going to be able to find it. And that goes a lot farther than bringing someone to their first meeting, which is, like I said, how I used to interpret 12-step work. It makes sure that meetings are available. Thank you so much for letting me be of service today.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you so much. Thanks for your experience, strength, and hope. Our next panelist is Lily. Floor is open, Lily. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to share a little perspective on the 12th step and the newcomer. I'll just give you a brief background. My current back-to-back abstinence began on May 22nd, 2010. After a brief dabbling in a forbidden substance that I tried to turn into an abstinent food, and my husband was undergoing chemo and I was bringing it into the house, and finally I tried it. But otherwise, I don't know, I can't remember. I've had a very long-term abstinence prior to that slip. But I'm very glad that I didn't try to gloss it over, because I've been in program a long time, 27 and a half years, and I had a long-term relapse by trying to gloss over a slip. So I'm really grateful that I didn't do that, and that I called it what it was, and it lasted a short period of time, about a week, and then on May 22nd I said, I better stop this now or I'm lost. And at that time, I felt like a newcomer. It's interesting. I didn't want to share on meetings, and I couldn't share on them, and I felt like a newcomer. I have never left program. I've always stayed in the rooms. I've always stayed. But as I say, it hasn't been all just abstinent, and there you go. I did have this. And what it has done for me, even though I didn't like it, and the training session that a slip or mini relapse will do, or even a long relapse will do, is that point of identification with others. So when people, when newcomers and returnees, or any other member for that matter, comes across me, what I try to do is provide a safe and positive, loving atmosphere for the newcomer and the returnee, and for everyone who reaches out to me, and also inspiration, because I know that being the kind of person I am, maybe I would never have come back, and maybe I would have become, you know, one of those people that people see on television. I have no idea where this would have taken me, but I was very, very fortunate that I was handled with such tact and such, really with love and kindness by my sponsor, who has been my sponsor now for 22 and a half years, and she's seen me through a lot, because my first year or 2 years of returning from about 2 years of back-to-back abstinence at a goal weight, and then relapsing, gaining all my weight back, and then going ahead and picking, you know, the tools up again and doing the program and getting this wonderful sponsor. She'd seen me through a lot, but she did it all with kindness and gentleness. And I tried to still make the program my program, you know, the way I was going to do it. And I had been in program longer than she had been in program. So I wanted to, you know, make it my way. Oh, I don't need this. I don't need that. And she just gently led me through example, through her spiritual awakening, which was kindness and love and identification. And she's one person who has 23 years back-to-back, no slips, but that was her path. My path was a little different, but I'm there as an embodiment of inspiration for the people who do slip and come back. And I can tell them, you can do this. You can do this, because one day at a time, you know, today, thank God, today I haven't picked up. Today I'm living in gratitude. Today I'm living in love. And today I have a program that I just love. I come to meetings because I love it. I come to meetings not because I have to. You can't keep me away from meetings. Whenever I'm near a phone, I come to meetings because I'm imbued with love, and I give that kind of love. It's funny, I was raised in a...
4 minutes.
Thank you. I was raised in a time, you know, of the Beatles, and all you need is love, right? And I kind of embodied that in my life. But when I came to program, that's not what I was looking for. I really wasn't looking for love. I was looking for weight loss. And then I heard something very interesting. A woman spoke, she was a speaker, and she said, "Let us love you back to health." And so I carried that with me. I thought, oh, that's a good idea. That sounds like something that may work for me, because actually that's what I really was looking for. I was looking for identification, for gentleness, for kindness, for a positive atmosphere in which I could bloom and become myself. And in the big, I mean, not the big book, but the 12 and 12, it says, he has been set on a path which tells him he is really going somewhere, that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured or mastered. I've never mastered this program, and I endure it sometimes, not now, but I did at the time endure it when I didn't really want to be here. Is that it? Okay, well, thank you, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Lily. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Okay, our next panelist is Michael. Floor is open, Michael. Please go ahead.
I want to thank everybody who shared and gave so much of themselves. Thank you for your service. And I also want to remember that my name is Michael, and I am definitely a compulsive overeater. And when I was first asked to do this, it was about 12-stepping the people in program, or just helping to 12-step. And I have been in food programs since April 11, 1976. I have never left. I've changed programs as they've come in to reality. What I really want to say for myself is I was chosen. I came in because I saw my sister's life changed. I stayed and she left. I also graduated into other programs, but to really hold on to the newcomer, because I thought you were all nuts. I didn't want to hold hands. I didn't want to say prayers. I had a lot of idiosyncrasies, a lot of fears, a lot of phobias, and I do believe that many of us, I came in to program because I was not all there, and I think I was ready for a breakdown. I will also say that most of my friends have are deceased from obesity, from stroke, from heart attack, as well as much of my family. So the one thing that I told Cheryl that I wanted to read, and I'll do it as quickly as possible, and this is for the newcomers, or this is for people who may or may not be having trouble, and it's really our instruction, which is Chapter 5, How It Works. And I had lunch in my early career as a therapist with several of Bill Wilson's friends. It was the highlight of my career. And they told me many things about him, which I learned were true. And one thing he did say, that if he were to do something different, and I have the original copy, a copy of the original manuscript, because we had no steps for 6 years, he would have written, instead of rarely have we seen a person fail, he might have changed it to never. And that really gets to me. So I'm going to read it as quickly as possible. Chapter 5, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to be born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of rigorous living. Someone's beeping, turning me a little bit distracted. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. That would be me. But many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose, in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. If you have decided you want, we have, and are willing to go to any length, then you're ready to take certain steps. But some of these we balked. We thought we can find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all our earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was no until we let go, absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, for me as well, food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us, but there is one who has all power, that one is God, or for many people, higher power. May you find him, and I say her, now, when I'm not supposed to change it, but I just did. Sorry about that. Half measures avail us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We ask his protection and care, but please abandon. I was told for many, many years, and still believe, the first 3 steps will get me clean. The remaining steps will keep me clean. So the first step I have to really take a look at, and for newcomers or people coming back or people who need to realize that this is a one day at a time program. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. That was pretty easy.
4 minutes.
Aim to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and made a decision to turn our lives and our will over to the care of God as we understood them. And since it's going a lot quicker than I thought it would be, there's one thing that's very, very important to me, and hopefully will be to you, because there are many people out there that can you stick around no matter what. Whether you eat or don't eat, you just keep coming to meetings, and you do the very, very best you can. And one of the most beautiful sayings in any of the books that I have read that helps me is quantity or quality. Page 11, as Bill sees it. About this slip business, I would not be too discouraged. I think you're suffering a great deal from a need for guilt. For some reason or another, the Lord has laid out tougher paths for some of us, and I guess you are treading one of them. God is not asking us to be successful. He's only asking us to try to be, so that you surely are doing and have been doing. So I would not stay away from AA through any feelings of discouragement or shame. It's just the place you should be. Why don't you try just as a member? You don't have to carry the whole AA in your back, you know, exclamation. In parentheses, it is not always the quantity of good things that you do. So
time.
The quality counts. Above all, take it one day at a time. Thank you for allowing me to share, and just keep coming back. This is not an event. It's a process. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. And that was great share. Thank you for your experience, strength, and hope. Diane, we need to give the speakers 4-minute warning, and then if they'd like to continue, a 6-minute warning. So if anyone does want to continue, you can go on. We've got plenty of time. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Susan is next. Please go ahead, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Susan, compulsive eater. I live in Oakland, California. I have been maintaining a 70-pound weight loss since September of 2007. I'm grateful for the recovery that I have received as a result of working the 12 steps and my commitment to my abstinence and working my program on a daily basis. And I am going to attempt to talk about using the 12 steps of recovery in speaking to a newcomer. When I think about the first step, that is where it all starts. I am powerless over food. My life had become unmanageable. And I regularly return to step one daily, I think, because I continue to have thoughts that are the thoughts of an addict, the thoughts of trying to take back control, the chaotic thoughts of, wanting things to be my way, and they're not. And after reminding myself what it was like, reminding myself I am powerless, I move on to step two. And I remember that I've come to believe in a power greater than myself. And I am one who has had a spiritual awakening. I had absolutely rejected anything having to do with a deity-based, religion-based higher power. So that was a real struggle for me, and when I was desperate enough, I was able to let go of at least some of that resistance and became open to have that spiritual awakening, which has been a remarkable event and process for me. And I move on. When I have these moments of doubt and rebellion, move on to step three. And remember that I have made a decision to turn my will and my life over the care of the higher power that I understand that is greater than that addict self that wants to take back control. And these three steps are important for me to think about when I am speaking to somebody who is a newcomer or speaking to somebody who is struggling or speaking to somebody who is relapsing and just not finding their way, to have that compassion that people have spoken of, to know it's a journey. Each person's path is their own, and I too am on this path. Step four is a fearless and thorough moral inventory, and it is, as I understand it, a gentle, loving, supportive way of looking at who I've been, who the compulsive eater is, and putting it down on paper and moving on to step five and sharing it with our higher power and another trusted person and trusting that this process of the inventory, admitting it to another, and then going through steps 6, 7, and 8, where we become ready to let go of these defects of character, which I like to think of more in terms of our unskillfulness, and make a list of those we have harmed. Step 9 was the step that I had the most intense trepidation around, to face another person and say to them, I did wrong by you. I am sorry I hurt you. And to be naked in that moment, being willing to just receive whatever their response was just terrifying to me. But as I worked through the steps, I just saw the miracle. As I worked through my program, as I went into recovery, I saw the miracles happening, and I trusted this.
2-minute reminder.
Okay. Thank you. And I just let go of that advanced worry and anxiety at step 9 and said, I am going to be ready. I am going to be held. I am going to be carried. So when I came to step 9, I continued to trust and surrender to the process and know that many had gone before me. And it was a miraculous experience to make amends and to be received by pretty much everybody in a way of compassion. And I know that isn't everybody's experience, but I go into step 9 without the expectation that the other person is going to forgive me. All I'm doing is admitting what was true for my actions and letting that person know I am doing my best to not act that way from here forward. And then I have this amazing opportunity to inventory each day, inventory recent time, and say, have I done wrong? Is there an amend that I need to make? And to now have that true trust that I can do it. And I have had multiple opportunities recently to make amends and to be, feel really clean about it. And what a gift that is. I thought through prayer and meditation, you know, going back to what my resistance had been, to come to truly pray to my understanding of a higher power, to have that centering practice of meditation, to come away from that addict head space and into that heart space that I identify as where my higher power lives. Such a powerful experience. And then, you know, the point of this workshop, carrying this message to those who need it and practicing these principles in all my affairs. I love these 12 steps. I am in awe of the process that it took for a bunch of drunks in the 30s to come to this
time
principle. I need another minute, please, and thank you.
Okay, that would be great.
Thank you. And it works. It's worked for me. It's worked for so many. 12-step recovery programs is available for so many of us who are struggling in our lives. For food recovery, it has worked for me. And it gives me a life beyond my wildest dreams. It gives me the opportunity to be a clean person, you know, clean in my food, but clean in the way I relate to people, and the ability to reach out beyond that egocentric addict self and share my recovery, to have an open heart, and to constantly, continually ask myself how I can learn and how I can grow from any given situation. What a gift to share with all of you, a gift to share with anyone who might need this message of recovery. And I thank you for the opportunity to share a little piece of mine. I pass.
Thank you so very much, Susan. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. All right, this is Cheryl, compulsive overeater, and I'll take a few moments. For me, carrying the message is a very important part of my program. I love 12-stepping people. I love taking on new sponsees. When I go to a meeting and there's someone new there and there's no one able to sponsor them, chances are that I'll always be the one that I'll get you started and let's see where that goes, and then I end up sponsoring them. So at any given time, I'll have quite a few sponsees. But I love that. I love getting those phone calls in the morning, listening to their questions, getting the food, and just giving back that which I have received over the years. So for me, it's so vital that I do that service. It's important to me to know that I can help. And by helping, I mean I just need to listen. I need to listen to the food, make sure that they have that correct down pat, and listen to the question and just be there if they have any questions. I've learned that in the past that giving my input doesn't really help me or the newcomer unless they ask for it. And again, I'm not a therapist either, so I'll listen to what's going on and see if I can share experience, strength, and hope in that particular area. But I am not a therapist. I'm not supposed to act like one, and I don't really feel like doing that, giving that kind of service. I'm not qualified. But this program is great. I know I have a wonderful sponsor, and if I have something on my mind, something that's really eating up at me, within my 50-minute time slot, I'll turn it over. I'll discuss it. And the beauty of that is that I'm always getting some kind of wonderful feedback that helps me and gets me through the day and gets me grounded again. It's so very important to me that I stop what I'm stressing out on, stop the negative part of the day, and just turn it into something positive. I've also learned that I need to let go and let God. One of the two mantras I have that's so very important for me to sit back, relax, let go of the situation, understand that there's nothing I can do about it. I did whatever it was that I thought I needed to do, and then let go and let God. And it's such a relief to know that Cheryl does not have to take care and not be in charge of people, places, and situations anymore. I used to think that I ran the show, and it was up to me to make sure everything came out right. Even this, with this workshop today, I only realized 2 weeks ago that we were doing this workshop that I had to make sure that I took care of it. And all I needed to do was take the right action, you know, do whatever it is that my part was, and relax. And over the weekend, it was like, uh-oh, you know, will it go right? Will I not get cut off? Will, you know, the recording part be okay? And I spoke to my sponsor, and again, let go and let God, you know. Sit back, do the best that you can, and if my higher power wills it so something does go wrong, well, then so be it. I'm not in charge. And that was so great. Took the stress completely out of my situation, out of my thinking, and I'm so grateful for all the shares here today. It's given me lots of experience, strength, and hope. I've heard lots of experience, strength. It's given me strength and hope for the future, too. So for me, the other mantra is one day at a time. I have to learn that this program will work for me if I only need to do it for the next 24 hours. When I first came in, somebody said, well, many people did, are you going to do this for the rest of your life? Are you not going to have that particular food for the rest of your life? And the truth is, I don't know. I did have slips, and I had a relapse by the grace of my higher power. It's almost 2 years. I'm back solid, back-to-back, and I've had many years of back-to-back, see how, abstinence. But I don't know. You know, I don't know if I will not pick up. I'm hopeful, and I ask my higher power every day, a lot of times during the day, especially if I think that there's a craving coming on, please, God, keep me away, keep me sane, let me have my serenity, and because there's so much that I have in this program, so much that I've gained, so many miracles come true, promises happen, and that's very true. When I first heard that, I said, well, come on, it's just the food.
2 minute reminder.
Thank you so much. And I know for me, helping that newcomer see what I have received, helping them realize that there's so much more to this program than just the food plan. Yes, abstinence is tool number one, very important, vital for me. But I need to also include my higher power on a daily, moment-by-moment basis and work those tools. I need to work those tools. So there have been times when I've had newcomers and because of them being reluctant to work the tools and not excited about doing all that stuff. And yes, it does take work. This program is simple, but it's easy. So I need to weigh and measure whatever time that takes. And sometimes I'll weigh my food, you know, for a couple of days in advance, put it away. I'll be having a trip that I'm taking. I'll be traveling overseas in a few weeks. And I'm already planning how I'm going to prepare my food and how I'm going to pack and what I'll be able to get there and what I need to take with. So it's exciting, whereas before I used to be afraid. How am I going to stay on that diet if I'm not home? Well, this program has shown me that I can do it if I want to and if I ask my higher power for help. And if I do that on a daily basis, one day at a time, it will work. It will work if I work it. So for newcomers today, when I take on a new sponsee, I make sure that they understand that it's not just about turning over the food. It's about working the program. If you want what I have, please do as I do, and it will work for you too. So I'm grateful that I am here today, that I'm abstinent, that I'm working the tools, and I love hearing all the experience, strength, and hope that I have heard today. Love you all for volunteering to be part of this wonderful workshop. I could never do it without you, and of course not without the help of my higher power. I would never be here. So thank you so much, and thank you, Diane, for timing us today. Thanks for the service. Okay, let us check if Shelley's back or if she's here.
Okay, my name is Shelley, and I'm a compulsive eater, and so grateful to be on this 12-stepping on the Phone Bridge conference workshop. You know, when I am helping people on the Phone Bridge, I believe that even just going to a meeting is a 12-step call. So, but also it's about doing all 7 tools, you know. It's about doing the weighing and measuring. I reinforce that to people when we talk on outreach. You know, I talk about the literature and writing, the importance of that, the anonymity, the calling the 3 outreach calls plus our sponsor 4 calls, and doing the meetings 5 a week, and also doing service, of course, and then doing sponsorship. And I talk about sponsorship in a way that we really need sponsors. I always emphasize this, that please, you never have to have another day one again. And if you do have to have another day one, just please stay, because we need the inventory 7 maintenance sponsors. There's never enough, especially of maintenance. And, you know, so it's important not to give up. It's important to do all these things. I've been told that it's harder to work the program 99% than it is to work at 100%. And in working with newcomers on the Phone Bridge, the hardest part is that we don't get to hug them, we don't get to see face-to-face each other, we don't get to see, like, in live meetings, the cool thing is, especially in your first few meetings, you know, a lot of the room standing up abstinent and the weight loss, and they talk about their weight loss, and they say how much they've lost, and it's just amazing, you know, to have that, especially in your first, second, or third meetings, because it's really inspirational. However, what we have in the Phone Bridge is unique, because when I started to see how we didn't have Phone Bridge, and, you know, it's just so amazing that we can do this today, because it's really helping a lot of people, I do believe, and through this Phone Bridge, I've been able to sponsor people in Australia and Amsterdam and France and Spain even, and New Zealand one time, you know. But always when I am looking at my program, what kind of sponsor am I? What kind of member am I? Am I returning those outreach calls that people make to me? You know, am I doing the things I need to do, because I just need to be an example? And on the phone, the best way for me to be an example is whenever I'm on a Phone Bridge meeting, I always have a pen and pad ready for me. And then I write down people's phone numbers as they say them. Even the when we meet afterwards, I will also do that. And then I try to make an effort through my week to call people that I've never spoken to before. And I'll even keep them in my phone. That's how I collect the numbers. I probably have at least 1,500 numbers in my phone, just from people I've called, and from people who've called me, and I've saved the numbers. And, you know, so now I have no problem with outreach calls. And for those who are new and seem to not be able to find enough people to call for outreach, my suggestion is get on the cahow.org website, and you can look up all the areas, Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, 4, 5, 6, and they have all the meetings listed for all those. And under those meetings, there's a secretary for each one. These are the live meetings, mind you. So you can call those secretaries, and you've got about hundreds of names, you know, to be able to call, and phone numbers, you know, and then you can call anybody on the board, anybody on the phone, this line, you know. So it's really, really great. You always have an outlet for that. And I've made it my business to always get live people on outreach calls, you know. And when I am doing my 12-step work on the Phone Bridge, I also try to emphasize that, you know, we explain the program. Sometimes it's very hard to explain the program, because it's kind of like teaching someone Greek in 5 minutes. We'll tell you about CHOW, well, it's this and this and this. I tell them a lot, too, especially people who just ask me about it more, to go to the CHOW website and read some of our literature, some of our readings for our meetings, things like that. And there's good explanations on there. But also, I understand it's very important to connect with each other. And that's what 12-stepping really is keeping a connection. Because in my compulsive eating, I tend to isolate. I can even do that in my recovery. if I want to, because I'm an isolator. You know, maybe I don't feel good enough or right enough that day. Maybe I don't feel like I have anything good to say or anything good to add to a situation. Or maybe I'm feeling really good that day and I just don't even think about it. My conscious contact with my higher power is the thing that is contingent upon my my daily doing of the day, my daily readings, my daily adherence to the seven tools. The seven tools make me work the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And if you compare them side by side, all those things, tradition 1, 2, and 3, you know, and the tools, and then 4, 5, and 6, and look at the tools, 7, 8, and 9, 10, 11, and 12, look at the tools and see where they connect, because they all connect. And when I'm 12-stepping people, I always want to try to make it as clear as possible, because there's a lot of ways people misinterpret this program. And we always have to be mindful of that, because we want not send out mixed messages. For myself, I live too much in a family and in a world of mixed messages. You know, boundaries were unclear, messages were unclear, my life was unclear, it was a mess. And I like one of the pamphlets that we have in this program called Wayne and Vision from the Food Plan. I often introduce that to people and encourage them to get that from our World Service and order it, and then get it and read it, because it talks about, you know, in parts of it, it talks about the importance of weighing and measuring and what it really means in the life of recovery. And in my recovery, my weighing and measuring, like it says in that pamphlet, which has really come true for me, is that when all my life may be chaotic, all my life may have problems, all my life may have turmoil, okay, if I'm always, as a habit, weighing and measuring my food each day, that can still continue through the chaos, through the turmoil, through the difficulties. For instance, right now, my mother-in-law is dying of stage 4 lung cancer. And
time, unless you'd like another minute.
Yeah, one more minute. And basically, I'm able to get through that because of the support I get in this program, because of the understanding I have now with my higher power. But I know three things to be true. One lady said this at a World Service conference years ago. She said she called her sponsor, and I'll finish with this. She called her sponsor, and she said, oh, she complained about this and that and that and this. And her sponsor says, honey, there's three things I know to be true. God's in charge, God's in charge, God's in charge. And today, I know that. And I respect that. Now, on the days I don't believe it, I still respect it. And I try to remember it, because if I do not, my program will go off the rail. And I'll find myself compulsive eating. Thank God, by God's grace, He's given me, at this point, 16 years and 1 month and 9 days of abstinence. But, you know, I don't do that alone. I'm a sanctioned obligated to do that, like it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I need this program. I want this program. I do this program. So there's no room for program in my life. There's only room for life in my program. That's what I was told.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Did you want my phone number or not, Cheryl?
Yes, go ahead. We didn't do that.
Okay, my name is Shelley.
Please go ahead, Shelley.
Okay, thank you. Shelley, 562-688-4728. 562-688-4728. Thank you, Cheryl, for
thank you so much, Shelley. Thank you. I appreciate your sharing experience, strength, and hope.
Here are the numbers of the other speakers that we had in today's workshop. Judy Kay spoke on 12-stepping by embracing our literature. Her number, Mountain Time, is 702-338-0336. Again, that's 702-338-0336. The other people that spoke, some of them did not feel comfortable leaving their number on the internet copy of this recording, but others did. Michael also was willing to leave his number. Michael spoke on walking newcomers through the traditions. His number is 516-732-5422. Again, 516-732-5422. That's Eastern Time. And then Shelley was the last speaker who spoke on encompassing the tools. And her number, Pacific Time, is 562-688-4728. Again, that's 562-688-4728. 2828.